I'm going to speak this morning on this subject, and of all sermons, this sermon will certainly apply to every person in the house, regardless of how old you are. I'm speaking on the subject, let him touch your lips. Let him touch your lips. There are four major prophets in the Old Testament. I'm sure that anyone here who knows anything about the Bible knows that there are the major prophets and the minor prophets. The minor prophets being Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, Joel, Nahum, and so forth. But there are only four major prophets. These four are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Let's say those together, shall we? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. One more time. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Now, these are the only four of the major prophets. Now, these major prophets have many differences. If I had time, I could go into their differences and show you how that Jeremiah and Isaiah were so different in their makeup. Isaiah, for example, was a loud, impetuous kind of a person, but not Jeremiah. Jeremiah was more retiring and quiet. Isaiah was a happy-go-lucky kind of fellow, but not Jeremiah. Jeremiah was more of a retiring introvert. Isaiah was optimistic and full of enthusiasm, but not Jeremiah. Jeremiah was pessimistic and felt unworthy to do God's work. God had to calm down Isaiah and stir up Jeremiah. Each of the prophets had his own particular personality and character and outlook, talents, and so forth. But there was one unusual similarity. Now, if you listen carefully, you'll find something I think you never knew in your life before. There is one unusual similarity, characteristic of all the major prophets. Now, as far as I know, this never happened. This thing that happened to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel never happened to Amos, never happened to Jonah, never happened to Habakkuk, never happened to Nahum, never happened to Hosea, never happened to Zechariah, never happened to Haggai, never happened to Malachi. As far as I know, this particular circumstance or event only happened to the four major prophets. Maybe that's why they're called major prophets. Who knows? But there's one thing that happened to each of these, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, that never happened to any of the other prophets in the Old Testament, as far as I know. And that was, in each case, the prophet had his lips touched by God. In each case. Isaiah, you recall Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. The seraphim came and took the tongs from off the altar and touched the lips of Isaiah. In the life of Jeremiah, he became discouraged and defeated, and God came and touched the lips of Jeremiah. In Ezekiel's life, in the second and third chapters of Ezekiel, when God was commissioning him, you'll find that he was given a roll, and that roll was to touch his lips, and he was to eat that roll passing through his lips. When Daniel was an older man, the Lord came and anointed the lips of Daniel. How strange it is that of all the prophets, only Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel would have this experience of the touching of the lips. But so it was. Isaiah had his lips touched by God. Jeremiah had his lips touched by God. Ezekiel had his lips touched by God. Daniel had his lips touched by God. Now, the three things about this common denominator experience. In the first place, each man, though he had his lips touched by God, it happened at different times. In the second place, it was for different purposes. In the third place, it was at different ages. Or let's put the ages first, shall we? At different ages and purposes and times. Now, bear in mind, here are four men. Well, let these be the four. Here's Isaiah. Here's Jeremiah. You're more like Isaiah. Here's Isaiah. Here's Jeremiah. Here's Ezekiel. Here's Daniel. And each of these men had his lips touched by God. Now, bear in mind, not a word is ever said about Peter's lips being touched by God. Not a word is ever said about John the Baptist having his lips touched by God. Not a word is ever said about Elijah having his lips touched by God. It is reserved for these four men who are called the major prophets to have their lips touched by God. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Now, in the first place, it happened at different ages. I mean by that, it happened when Jeremiah was a little boy, his experience came. When Isaiah was in his late teens, his experience came. When Ezekiel was 30, his experience came. And when Daniel was an old man, his experience came. When Isaiah was a little boy, God touched his lips. Jeremiah. When Isaiah was a teenager, God touched his lips. When Ezekiel was 30 years of age, entering his middle years, God touched his lips. When Daniel was an aged man, facing the sunset years of his life, God touched his lips. Now, what is God trying to teach us here? God is trying to teach us that he wants to touch us at every phase and every age of our lives. Are you this morning just a lad, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age? God wants to touch your life. God wants to touch your lips. Are you this morning a teenager in the high school, junior high ages? God wants to touch your lips. Are you today in the middle years of life? God wants to touch your lips. Are you today in the later years of life, in the sunset years? God wants to touch your lips. Now let's go through them, please, if you would. And notice, in the first place, Jeremiah. Jeremiah said when God called him, "I am but a child." Ushers, if you'll keep the folks from leaving without an adult, I'd certainly appreciate it. That's the purpose of our announcement a while ago. Now, when Jeremiah was only a child, the Lord came and said, I want to touch your lips. And Jeremiah said, "But I am only a child." Now, in the Hebrew, the word child here is the word na'ar, which means a very young man, a very young man. Now, God can touch the lives of very young people, little children. Did you know that Robert Hall was converted at the age of 12? Matthew Henry, who wrote the great Matthew Henry commentary, was saved at the age of 11. Did you know that Isaac Watts, the great preacher, songwriter, was saved at the age of 9? Did you know that Jonathan Edwards, the great, mighty preacher of the early days of our country, was saved at the tender age of 7? Which means that God wants to come to our children and our primary department and touch their lips. God wants to come to our youngsters and our junior departments and touch their lips. That makes the job of every superintendent so important. That makes the job of every teacher so important. For God oftentimes touches for a life's work the lips of just a people at just childhood, such as was the case of Jeremiah. But then the Lord touched Isaiah in his late teens. I want all the teenagers to stand this morning. Would you please? All the teenagers. I want you to stand. All the teenagers. Now, may I say this to you? God waited until Isaiah was in his late teens to touch him. Now, don't look around. Look at me now. And God wants to touch your lips. I was thinking this morning as these teenagers walked across the platform and got those Bibles and gave the plans for their lives. I was wondering how many sermons it had taken to make you what you are. I was wondering how many opening assemblies it had taken to make you what you are. I was wondering how many lessons and how many prayers and how many tears it had taken to make you what you are. Now, God wants to touch your lips. God has a plan for your life. You came by this morning and said, "I don't know my plans yet." It's not God's fault. God has a plan for your life. You know God's will as sure as anybody else may know God's will. God wants to touch your lips. While you're young, let him touch your lips. While you're in your teen years, let him affect your life. Now, let the hand of God touch you so you can serve God with a long and happy and vigorous life for Jesus Christ. Thank you, kids. Thank you. And so it was that Isaiah had his lips touched when he was only a teenager. You know, and tonight I'll say something about this in my own timid way again. But you know, all hell is turned loose today on our teenagers. The entire world, all Satan's devices and all of his arsenal, they're all turned loose and pointed toward the young person, the younger generation, the teenager, the boy, the girl. Everything at hell's, from hell's arsenal is pointed toward the teenagers. And that's one reason why, in God's name, we stress over and over again, listen, brother, but the louder the devil barks, the louder house is going to bark. The louder the Carmichaels beckon, and the louder the Black Panthers beckon, and the louder the Rat Browns beckon, and the louder the SDA beckons, and the louder the dope racket beckons, and the rottener our high schools get, and the more dress codes that go out the window, and the more dirty books our young people have to read, the louder I'm going to scream for rights and decency and honor and integrity. The devil's after you. He's trying to get you. Oh, while you're yet a teenager, let the hand of God touch your lips, as it did Isaiah of old. But there's a third.
There's Ezekiel. Ezekiel had his lips touched also. But his lips were not touched until he was at the age of 30, which means that God wants the middle-aged people also to have their lips touched. God wants to use the life of you in your 30s and 40s and 50s. God wants to use you in those productive years of your life. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm trying to get ahead in business. But let God touch your lips and serve God. But you say, Brother Hiles, my family is young and we're facing a business schedule. I don't care. Let God touch your lips. If you be a child like these boys on the front row this morning, God wants to touch your lips. If you be a teenager like these hundreds and hundreds of young people that stood a while ago, God wants to touch your lips. But if you be in the middle years of life, God wants to use your lips and touch your lips as he did Ezekiel's of old. But there's something else. Daniel, the other of the major prophets, did not have his lips touched until he was an older man. Now bear in mind, isn't it wonderful how planned and organized God is? God gave us four major prophets with the same experience of the touching of the lips, but each one at a different phase of his life. Childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and old age. And so Daniel came to the last years of his life, and in Daniel chapter 10, he had a wonderful experience how that God came and touched his lips as he did Isaiah as a teenager, as he did Jeremiah as a boy, as he did Ezekiel as a middle-aged man entering his middle ages. Even so, God touched Daniel. So that means this. God has something for you older people too. I detest this so-called generation gap. You know what? A generation gap could be spanned by an old-fashioned razor strap. Generation gap. We've always had a generation gap. My mama liked to kill me when I was a kid. We had a peach tree out in the backyard that never grew a peach. Never a peach. She'd go out and get a peach tree limb, and I can see her coming back toward the house now and taking the leaves off that peach tree limb. And if I could roll my pants legs up and let you see my beautiful limbs today, you could still see the marks that I bear in my body from the fruit that peach tree bore. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying I'm weary of people saying, well, the older generation, you young pipsqueaks, better listen to some of us who've lived a little while longer. And some of you older people, let God touch your lips and speak a while. I was in New York City preaching not long ago. You heard about it. When the hippie crowd almost martyred me and got me in a corner till 1:15. And some hippies were at outside of my motel room most of the night. And because I had taken my stand and preached and so forth. And I had letters from New York City. Again and again, folks wrote me letters and said, we heard you preach. We're parents of young people. We've just been silent. We just let the young people speak, but now we're going to speak. Well, of course, let some people with the hoary heads and wisdom and the gray beards, let some people who've walked years enough and miles enough and paths enough to have knowledge and wisdom young folks don't have. I get so sick of people saying, well, young folks are smarter than they were when we were kids. Yeah, smart enough to burn down cities. Smart enough to shoot each other. Smart enough to not take baths or comb their hair or get haircuts. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing the younger generation needs more than a baptism of wisdom and knowledge from the older generation. We stepped aside and let the lips of the young folks speak. It's time that the older generation said a few words. I thank God for Spiro Agnew. If you don't like that, lump it the best way you can. Blessed be God. And it's time somebody said amen to him. One of my young kids in the church here, a teenage boy, brought me a great big picture about that high. I mean, 5 or 6 feet tall of Agnew. And I've got it over in the office, and I've got written under Agnew for president. And I don't care what you think about him. It's time somebody spoke besides a teenager. It's time somebody spoke that bathes. It's time somebody spoke that combs his hair. In fact, it's time somebody spoke that has no hair. It's time somebody spoke that has graying temples. It's time the wisdom and wit of age and the seasoning of age stood up and said to a generation that's going to rock the whole world, listen to us for a while. We have something to say. I'm for the young people. I'm not against them. But I'm also for the older people. I'm not against them. Just as God can touch the lips of a little child named Jeremiah, the lips of a teenage lad named Isaiah, the lips of a middle-aged young man named Ezekiel, God can also still touch the lips of older people named Daniel. Use your talent for God. Teach a Sunday school class if you're 65 or 70.
Don't sit on the sideline. Don't retire from service for God. Stay on the battlefield. Don't give the world to a bunch of beatniks. Don't let the new crowd take over our generation. Stand up and be heard. Let God touch your lips. Use your talent and your life for Jesus Christ. That old man down in Durham, North Carolina, lingers in my mind so often, as I've told you. When I preached one day about 9 or 10 years ago, the city of Durham, I spoke on the 8th Psalm. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast given him dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, the beast, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and the beast of the field, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. I spoke on the 8th Psalm. When I finished speaking, an old man in his 80s stood up, and skinny he was. Couldn't have weighed much over 100. Little short fella. His arms looked like broomsticks with hinges on them. He held up his little old arms and he began to speak. And he said, "People, I've been a preacher for over 50 years. I've preached my voice out." He said, "I've been looking forward all these years to retiring." And he said, "I've been looking forward to just settling down and taking it easy." And he said, "Just a few months ago, I came to retirement. And I have now enough money to care for me the rest of my life." But he said, "When I heard that young man," I was a young man then, he said, "When I heard that young man speak this morning," he said, "God spoke to my heart." And he said, "I'm not going to retire." Then he raised up those little old feeble arms and he said, "I'm re-enlisting." No, would God, some of you people who are 60 and 65 and 70 and 75, get back in the Sunday school class and share with our boys and girls the wisdom of age. Let God touch your lips. You children this morning, you Jeremiah, let God touch your lips. You teenage Isaiah, let God touch your lips. You middle-aged Ezekiel, let God touch your lips. But you older Daniel, let the hand of God touch your lips. I was thinking about this a while ago as I was waiting to preach. Let's take our deacon board, for example. Young man who sang a duet with his wife a while ago. One of our deacons, a young man. And yet we have deacons on our board in their 70s. We come to a deacon's meeting, we have the enthusiasm of youth, the knowledge and wisdom of age, the level-headedness of middle age. All ages are needed. But look, any time somebody says, "This is the generation of young people," I want to say, "Sit down." It's the generation of all people. All people. There's something else. And that is, this touching of the lips was for different purposes also. Are you listening? For different ages, childhood, youth, middle age, old age, but also for different purposes. The case of Isaiah. Isaiah was a young fellow whose mouth was a little dirty. I don't know what the sins of his lips were. Maybe he was guilty of cursing, and I can think of nothing any more uncivilized than using God's name in vain. I took a page out of Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. the other day. I was at a certain place, and the fellow kept saying, "Jesus Christ," and then he would say, use God's name before the word D-A-M. Finally, I said, "You know him too, do you?" He said, "No, who?" I said, "No, God." He said, "How do you know?" I said, "That's all I've heard you talk about since I've been here. It's God." A person that can't use decent language ought to keep his mouth shut. A person that can't speak without being profane ought not to speak. Young man that can't speak without using dirty, filthy language ought to keep his mouth shut. And so Isaiah, maybe he was guilty of vulgar language, I don't know. Maybe dirty jokes, maybe gossip, I don't know. But I know one thing, God came and touched the lips of Isaiah because Isaiah had unclean lips. Isaiah was an optimist. And God touched his lips and said, "Isaiah, may I touch your lips to cleanse them." But Jeremiah was not a young man who cursed. Jeremiah was reared in the priestly line. Jeremiah was not a young man who was overly optimistic or overly zealous or impetuous. Jeremiah was a retiring kind of reluctant fellow. The truth is, Jeremiah didn't want to preach when he was called and didn't want to keep preaching after he started. Time and time again, he wanted to quit. He came to God one time and said, "I'll tell you what I wish I could do. I wish I could go out to a little wayfaring lodge where the painters just paint all the time. I'd like to get me a little private place where nobody knows me and hide out for a while and just be anonymous for a while." You know, sometimes I want to do that. I'm not famous, but almost everywhere I go, somebody knows who I am. And there are times when I wish, you know, I got on an airplane the other day. And I said, "Boy, I've got a long flight to take. I'm just going to relax."
And lo and behold, a first fella who got on the plane right before me turned around and said, "Could I be so presumptuous as to ask if you're Dr. Jack Hiles?" I wanted to say, "No, my name is Streeter, Cal Streeter." And I had to sit with that rascal and talk to him for 4 hours. 4 long hours. Jeremiah said, I don't want to keep preaching. I want to quit. When preachers ordain, I'm sure you fellows have heard this. Dr. Billings, I know you have. Fellows ordain, some very, very smart preacher will get up and try to say, "Young man, now if you can keep from preaching, don't preach." And I don't believe that for a minute. Jeremiah could keep from preaching. Jeremiah didn't want to preach. But the Lord came and touched his lips. Why? Because he was reluctant. He wanted to quit. He was a pessimist. And I suspect this morning I'm talking to a 25 Sunday school teacher this morning who taught last year that quit this year, and you need to get right with God. Hear what I said? I said, you need to get right with God. But you said, "How? I'll tell you what. I want to sit with my family in Sunday school." Well, who doesn't? "Brother Hiles, I'm just tired and weary." Well, who isn't? Good night. Everybody's tired in the summertime. You heard about the lady that was tired all the time? All the time. Always tired. She went to the preacher and said, "I'm always tired. Never get any rest. I just want to quit." He said, "Well, that's all right." I said, "One day you'll die." And said, "You'll just be in the grave. You can lie there and rest for a long time." She said, "No." Said, "Be my luck for the resurrection to come the next morning. I wouldn't get enough rest. I never get any." Somebody, "I'm tired. I'm tired of serving God." Let God touch your lips. Keep on going. Keep on going. Isaiah had unclean lips and God touched them to cleanse them. But Jeremiah had reluctant lips and God touched them to excite them. But Ezekiel had his lips were touched for courage. He served in a hard place. Ezekiel served in bondage. Ezekiel preached to people that were slaves in Babylon. He served in a hard place. He needed courage, and so God came to Isaiah and said, "I'll touch your lips for cleansing." He came to Jeremiah and said, "I'll touch your lips for infilling." He came to Ezekiel and said, "I'll touch your lips for courage." If you have not enough courage to stand for God at school, then let God touch your lips and give you the courage He gave Ezekiel. When they say it's time to have the dance, and you say, in your heart, you know you shouldn't, and you know you shouldn't participate, let God touch your lips with courage to say no. And they pass the liquor bottle around at work, and you're tempted to take a swig, a jig, a jug, or something, and tempted to take it. Let God touch your lips with courage. Wish we had some Christians that had the courage of these hippies. Wish we had some Christians that stand up for God like these